In my head, I'm like, you can't drink Guinness out of a can, but it still tastes pretty good.
I got that little nitrogen ball in there.
It's still good.
Mm-hmm.
Get a nice pour job. Or did you do a nice pour job or just do a pour job? Nice.
Yes.
No.
Maybe.
Die! Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for October 18th, 2019. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Aj Guy.
Hello!
How's it going, Aj Guy?
Good, because 2 weeks from now, even though you were just there, I will be in Uga's Cantina, right? Like, 2 weeks and 3 hours.
Change, yeah. Yeah, we sure will, but I was there literally, like, what, two days ago? Oh, God! Feels like a while ago already. I was there a lot.
So, Mike,
yeah.
You were there because you got to play
Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Not Star Wars, Jedi Fallen Order. Star Wars Jedi.
So, as opposed to like other kinds of Jedi.
Yeah, right. The Star Wars
it's
Jedi.
Star Wars Jedi.
And then it's their Fallen Order.
I see. So, first, let's talk about the game.
Okay.
You got to play it for, about four straight hours.
Straight, and it's the game I played. Well, I didn't start at the beginning. It was like you do the first planet, and then you kind of can pick some planets to go to. The planets were Zepho, which is like the brand new planet they made for this game, and Darthamir, the Darth Maul planet.
Oh, cool.
Was another option. They told us to go to Zepho because it was kind of like the one you're supposed to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So but most of my time was there, although at the end I did actually unlock Kashyyyk, and I went there for just a smidge.
They always sent us to Kashyyyk.
What?
They're always sending us to Kashyyyk.
Yeah, part of me was almost like, eh, Kashyyyk again, but, you know, it's neat. I get it. But the Zepho planet was really neat. It was kind of, like, it was filled with, like, ruins. It was, like, grassy. It wasn't, like, snowy, but there was snow in places, like, the snow had just thawed or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I got almost. You.
Yeah, so, and of course, like, the stormtroopers were there and all that stuff. But getting to play it, like, I really, like, got the rhythm of this game. And it's basically Metroid Prime kind of meets a bit of Dark Souls and a bit of Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Those are good games.
Yeah, right? That's kind of the vibe I got.
So, what were you playing it on?
PC. Okay. With an Xbox One controller.
Okay. So, 4K, 60.
So, it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and it just, you know, it's so much of it is, like, that kind of room-to-room feel of the of a Metroid Prime. And you're kind of going down, like, this path towards an objective, but there's, like, kind of offshoot paths that can lead to, like, other items you can find, and you're unlocking shortcuts, like, back to where you were, so that, the level maybe starts out as this kind of, like, one weird path, but then becomes kind of this web, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Super cool. The map is really nice, because it does a good job of showing you where you are, but it also clearly shows you where you're supposed to go. And it clearly shows you, like, both, like, the areas you haven't been yet that you can access, like, the almost, like, the entryway to those areas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the ones that, like, you just can't get to yet because you don't have that force ability.
Or that's because you're not kind of wasting your time.
Right, right. Combat is, it's definitely a bit more in that Dark Souls vein that it's, like, slower, more methodical.
That's right. Well, everyone's, I think people hear, because a lot of the previews of liking the Dark Souls, I think they hear that and they equate that to mean hard.
Right, I mean,
is it hard, or is it just like in the fact that it's like a slower kind of
it's
more
slower, it's not,
defensive and like you're not button mashing,
right? It's not as slow as Dark Souls, even really. I mean, I some people say the Sekiro is a better comparison. Which,
no,
that's my dog.
Afraid.
She's fine.
Is she?
Yeah, she does that all the time.
Oh, good.
It says hair because she licks carpet constantly, so she costs off hairballs.
Okay, so Sekiro. Okay, I've not played that.
Right, so it's a bit faster paced, but it's a lot of like blocking and parrying.
Really, Penny?
You done? Thank you.
Okay. I like that. I think that makes sense for a lightsaber. Because like,
well, it's fine because...
Like, even when I think of the good Star Wars games, you name-checked the Jedi Outcast and even Force Unleashed. The lightsaber always felt floaty. Or not floaty, but like...
It doesn't have much weight.
Yeah.
You're kind of flinging around.
It's like when you play with a VR game and you're swinging a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Like, you're just going through everything, you know?
Right, yeah. This one is much more about, like... It almost feels like... with most things, it's not like you're literally hitting them through with the lightsaber and they take multiple hits. It's like you're kind of weak, wearing down their defenses.
There's and then when you actually hit them, it does kill them. Like,
right,
a stormtrooper doesn't take more than one lightsaber swing.
Right. And a lot of it is parrying, which is there's the block button, and you can keep blocking as long as your stamina lasts, and then you start taking damage. But you can also, like, tap it,
like a perfect time block.
Yeah, then you do the parry, which is for, like, the melee attack, but also the laser bolts. And it's really fun when you're, like, kind of like fighting a group of stormtroopers and some of them are like in the distance. So it's like you're trying to do a melee fight, but then like you're trying to like watch out for a blaster so that you like bounce it off at that right time. Yeah, it just feels really satisfying and it's pretty cool.
So made by Respawn, makers of Titanfall. How's the traversal in the game?
I mean, the traversal is nothing crazy. I mean, the most...
Like wall running and
wall
stuff?
Wall running's there. That's probably the extent of it. But it's not like an Uncharted. I mean, it's not even really Uncharted or yes. It, don't think Titanfall like too crazy like traversal planning. Like there are some quote unquote platforming segments that are more about jumping, a little bit jump, but mostly like that wall running. Or there's like a section where I was in an ice cave and I was sliding down, you know, like an ice tube, that kind of stuff. Sure. But it's not. It's really more. I would say combat is the most thing I was doing the most. Like exploration slash puzzles then, and then like platforming kind of traversal stuff was kind of well after that. There was a big kind of thing where there was a lot of like these kind of rotating windmills almost, and I would use like the force stop on them or which slows things down to kind of make it like, okay, now I can cross this thing at this moment.
Okay.
And then where you got the big Tomb Raider vibe was there was a part like kind of towards the end of my time on Zephyr where you literally go into a tomb. And now it's like pretty much all puzzles. There's some things to fight, but it's suddenly very puzzle focused. It was specifically about there's like these big round like metal balls. And at first it was like activating these wind tunnels to kind of push them around to get them to break some passes in the wall or to put them in these little kind of like divots in the ground. And you put them in there, and then this door opens or this thing activates. And then like a good way through the tomb is where you get force push unlocked, so then you're suddenly using that to do the puzzles and they get more intricate.
Is this idea like a are these common like what does every planet have a tomb you're gonna go into and
I'm not super sure if it's that formulaic because again I really only did this planet right. Like a little bit of Kashyyyk so maybe, but I mean it was classic where now I have force push and there was like when I was going through Zephyr there was all these walls that I couldn't like break open and they were literally in red to tell me that, and now even though it was like, oh, you can go to Kashyyyk, but it was clear, like, well, now I can also go to all those walls and see what's behind it.
Right.
And there's a lot of fun things you collect from going to, like, these other paths. There's kind of like the Zelda thing where if you get three of an item, you can increase your max health or your max force power. Then there's a lot of customization for, like, the lightsaber. And a lot of times you're finding parts for that, like a different color, a different hilt, or a different you can change your costume on Cal, too, a bit. Then the other thing was just like you find like lore stuff and you scan it and you get like a bit of the lore information, but you also get XP, which you also get from fighting things. And it's just you get a point and you can use that to unlock things in a skill tree. It's also kind of Dark Souls-y in that there's no fast travel, but there are like these save points and there's like they're meditation points.
And campfires.
They're campfires. And when you go to them, that's where you can use skill points and save your progress. And if you die, you go back to the last one you used. You lose any skill points you haven't used yet.
They haven't, like, banked.
Right. Well, yeah, but, like, if you kill the guy who killed you, then you get those back.
So that's very Dark Souls.
Very Dark Souls-y there, right? And it's not all that hard to go to that, find that guy and kill him. And these things are pretty generous. There's a bunch of them around. So it's not, you're probably not going to, like, somehow lose a lot of progress.
Like an hour's worth of progress or something.
Right, exactly.
Very nice. Mm-hmm.
But like the flavor is really good. Cal seems super likable.
Yeah, I was gonna say how it's like all the performances and everything.
BD1. So I love that like you have to use some things you push down on the D-pad to like tell BD1 to scan something or to activate something. If you just push it when there's nothing to do, like Cal will be like BD1, boop, boop, boop. Just making sure you're there. It's like kind of adorable.
That's great. Right.
The pilot character, he's like a new alien that they made for this, but I like him a lot.
He looked like the guy from Solo.
A little bit. But they said they invented this race for this, so I think.
Just got
he's
close.
A bit fuzzier than the guy from Solo.
I see.
I think. But, yeah, I'm liking it quite a bit.
Nice. What are you going to get it on?
I don't know. Xbox One X, maybe. I don't know. Whatever. Not PC. Maybe PC. Eh.
See, I'm getting it on PC because I'll get it with my Origin Access Premier subscription.
Right, right.
So, yeah. It's a PC game for me.
Yeah, I don't know. Kind of whatever.
Yeah, I probably will just hook up a controller and go that route. But.
And there are still, like, some kind of, like, some big, like, set piece moments. I almost don't want to talk about them. I don't really want to give them away.
We don't need to.
But they're cool.
Spoil that.
But,
I'm pumped, though.
I'm I'm really high on this game now. I was excited for it, and I'm like, yes, this is exactly what I'm looking for. I'm you know, because when we first saw it, there was that fear that it was going to be, it's kind of like another Force Unleashed, where it's going to be kind of linear, just like an action game. Force Unleashed was mostly about, like, gravity stuff, like, most about, like,
almost they, like they had physics. That physics engine.
Right. Like, I was like, there's whatever. Not really any of that, at least in what I played. It's not like that at all. So I'm glad it feels, you know, it's doing a lot of Star Wars stuff, but it still feels very different. It's not Force Unleashed. It's not Jedi Outcast. Yeah, it's doing its own thing, and it's doing it very well. So
that's exciting.
I'm into it. But yeah, I also did get to do pretty much everything in Galaxy's Edge.
Jackanapes.
So,
couldn't wait 2 more weeks, universe.
Well, there's a morning session and an afternoon session for this thing. And mine's the afternoon, so in the morning I got to go to Disneyland. And I got there like 8:30, park opened at 8, but they had extra magic hours at 7, but still pretty dead. So I just kind of walked in through, there's 3 entrances, and I walked in the middle one that's kind of by Big Thunder Mountain, which was a really cool edge because it's still like the sight line is perfect and you kind of go underneath through this like tunnel underneath the train. And it's this really nice transition and there's this music playing suddenly. And when you come out, you're looking at, I found it was like the droid depot is like straight ahead of you. It was just really cool. So it's just so much to look at immediately because there's all these droid parts everywhere. I'm just kind of walking around, not too much longer than that. First I see Kylo Ren's like TIE. What is this thing called?
What's that lander?
Yeah, that's like the one they made for this almost.
Yeah.
So that like there's that thing. I'm on the resistance side, the milk stands on my left. Don't want any of that. That's a little gross. But I saw one of the Coca-Cola things. I'm like, oh, yeah. First thing I do is get a
Diet Coke.
It was funny because the guy in front of me is trying to buy his. And the lady's like, "That'll credits, please." And the guy's like, "What?" And you can always hear her like dead inside. 6. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, I can pay that. But I got my Diet Coke. It was super cool. And then I saw the Millennium Falcon there. It's just, it's so weird. I mean, it's life size. Like, oh, there it is.
Oh, God, I'm going to lose my shit when I see
that. And I'm like, oh, look, this ride does have a single rider line.
Yeah.
So, like, I go in it, and at first I'm like, I'm kind of just like in like,
whoops.
Whoa.
I hit my watch. Sorry, sir.
There's like, I'm just kind of in this, you know, pathway. It's hard to see how close I am or anything. I'm like, is this really, am I still going to be in a line for an hour? I was in that line for like 10 minutes. I got on that ride.
Not bad.
It's so funny because there are still like things people aren't getting used to. Like you get put in that room, like in the Millennium Falcon, like the living room. I don't know what you call it.
Yeah,
the chess set and everything. And everyone tries to get in a line when they go there. And there's the person always like, you can walk around here. We'll call you when it's your turn, right? But people are taking pictures at the chessboard.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, like something starts flashing red in one corner of the room, and the customer's like, "Someone push that red button!" Like no one's. I'm like,
"Fine,
like,
I will do
I'm
it."
I'm on the other corner. I'm like waiting for to let a kid do it. And right. So I'm like, "Fine." So I like, run over there very dramatically, push the button. Like I did
save
it.
Save the ship,
right? But I got assigned engineer the first time, which like at first I was like, "Oh, I'd rather do anything else." But so I go in there, and it's just it's so neat when you just walk in there. I'm like, it's the cockpit, right? It's such it just looks so awesome. And like I had all these buttons to play with, you immediately have to kind of start your console up. And a lot of it, especially for engineers, it's basically when a button flashes, you should be pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
The engineer is fun because the idea is that whenever like there's damage to the ship, you have to kind of fix it by pushing whatever random buttons kind of. So it is kind of like feels like you're doing something.
Yeah.
Right.
A little more than Mission Space where it's just like there's 2 possible buttons.
And the coolest thing was that when there's damage, there's this gust of wind that hits you.
Nice.
And it's like something's wrong. Oh, I love it. And I almost kind of like to like. So it's to your left. So you literally look away from the screen like you're focusing on it, which it makes me feel like. The ship is as much a part of it as, like, the film ride.
Right, it's not just what's in front of you, it's all around.
Yeah, it's, like, all this stuff that's happening. And, like, but it was so cool because it really was, like, you know, it's like a simulator. And I have a hard time doing the new Star Tours anymore. This wasn't, I don't know if it's because it wasn't in 3D or because of that cockpit, but it felt so smooth and, like, didn't bother me at all.
So you eventually did all three seats, right. Which was pilot clearly.
So
the best.
Pilot was super fun. Yeah. I was a little bunk. I was left pilot, so I didn't do the hyperspace thing. But I had other things to do. But I was in charge of moving left and right, which is super cool. And I mean, it's so impressive that that's like a real time running like game almost because it looks so nice. Then I did Gunner. Gunner was actually maybe my least favorite.
Yeah.
There is like, it's like you could do manual or automatic, but it almost seems like you should just do automatic because it's easier, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of it was spamming that button for the most part. There was a couple other more interesting sections, but it was a lot of that. I almost liked Engineer more than Gunner, but Pilot's cool. I mean, you have so many more buttons. All the buttons are in front of you.
Direct control.
Right. And it's just, feels like you're piloting the Millennium Falcon. God. But it was all cool. It was all an amazing experience. But my group never did too great. One time we got two canisters of stuff you're supposed to get, which is good. But that time, like, the pilot also crashes a bunch. So we had a lot of money docked.
Yeah.
Like, the two things I got were first, the guy was like, then the other one's like, hey, not bad. Never did better than, hey, not bad.
Jim Cummings approved.
But it was great. And like, I got to do, I could have probably done it more times. Like, all right, I should do some other stuff. But
oh, don't worry, we're going to do it plenty.
Yeah, but single rider. Oh, it was easy. Nice and easy. I walked through Docking Bay 7 just to see, and I saw their breakfast stuff.
Do you see they're changing? Yeah. That's so lame.
I wonder if I was there the last day. Well, the two examples I already gave you, people aren't quite getting some of it.
I know, it's so annoying. There needs to be, like Adult Swim in a pool. It needs to be, like nerd time.
Yeah.
Like, you have to, like, answer a quiz before you get into the land.
But, I mean, it was dead out there at the part I was in, and it was, like, 9 at this point. Like, no one was going there for breakfast yet, really. Mm-hmm. But pretty close next to that was Rondo's Roasters, which I was more excited for.
Oh, I want
that
for lunch so bad.
And it's so cool looking there. You had that robot just spinning those things.
The spit over a pot engine. God. Yeah,
so I got my Rondo wrap with no slaw, please. It was good. Although I concede it probably could have used a little acid from that slaw, but also, I don't want it.
Yeah.
But it was cool. It was fun. Then like right next to that is like that market with all the little shops and stuff, basically. I was just, and it's like the coolest, like almost looking section of it. Just walking down there was fun. The popcorn thing was there. I didn't get it at first, but later went back. It was like my favorite thing I ate there was the popcorn. It's like red and purple flavored. It's like spicy and sweet. It's really what it tastes to me like. It's like spicy Lucky Charms marshmallow flavor almost.
That sounds amazing.
It's like that with like a bit of chili powder in
it.
That
sounds amazing.
And I loved it.
Okay, that was not on my radar. It is now on my radar. I know a green flavor just got introduced. I don't know what it is.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
I think like just today.
Right. They had a popcorn bucket. It looked like one of the, it looked like some kind of a big, like moving rover thing. I don't know if it's exactly the thing that the Jawas had, but I was tempted. I mean,
we've had good experiences with popcorn in Disney World lately.
Yeah,
so.
Right. So then I just kind of was wandering. I went to the Droid Depot. I finally kind of, noticed where that was. I got a hat there, actually, because I realized that I'm bald and it's very hot out and the sun's out and I didn't wear sunscreen. I probably need a hat anyway, so that'll make for a good souvenir. Went inside later in the day when I went back, there was like what's that place called with the animatronic in it? It's like where the more higher end stuff is.
Oh, but I forget the guy's name. It's a Trandoshan, right?
Yeah, it was the one place that was like almost too crappy to be in there. Really the only thing I didn't do at all was the lightsaber, because like you need a reservation for that.
Not Trandoshan. What is he? What are the hammerhead guys called?
Not Edoshan, though. I don't know.
Shit, I should know that.
But and I went inside like the first order store. I walked over to where the Rise of Resistance ride will be.
It's going to be.
Right, and it's like...
It's weird because it's like dead over there right now.
it's already a really neat looking area. Rey was walking around there too and like doing stuff. At one point, first she was just like talking to some little girl. And then another point I went back and like Chewbacca and Rey were doing a little thing next to... not the A-Wing, there was some... the X-Wing that's there. Was doing like... Not really, I wouldn't even call it a show, but they were doing things.
Like just working on the ships and stuff.
Then later I came back like Rey, Chewie, and a cast member were just playing Green Light, Red Light with a bunch of the kids.
That's awesome.
Except it was like X-Wing, A-Wing. I was very excited to see the A-Wing. I like A-Wings.
I know. Well, how I feel about X-Wings, so... Yeah.
Even like... It's funny because like they even had like all the ambient sounds playing from like the queue for Rise of the Resistance. You can hear it all.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
And they have like... It's not like a full store, but they have like two of like those carts selling like the Resistance gear and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so weird. Almost... Because it feels so much more like... you're almost in like something like from an Animal Kingdom or like that, where it's just kind of spread out and big, and so much of Disneyland is so compact and dense, you know?
Because it's old, and right? This is such new construction. So,
it was crazy that, like, at one point, when I was walking in, I walked back up the mountain, I'm like, may as well get a fast pass for this. And, like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, man, how am I going to make my fast pass with Big Thunder Mountain? I'm like, wait, it's a 5-minute walk, if that. It was, like, 2 minutes away. It was, like, so weird to be, like, to leave that and then go on Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, take the Mark Twain around, you know? Jeez. But it was awesome. I had a good time. Nothing about disappointed me.
Oh, God.
And so I almost, like, lowered my expectations for Smuggler's Run because I feel like people weren't, like, getting super high on it. I thought that was awesome. Yeah. I thought it was so much fun.
And that's like the B ride,
right?
I can't imagine what Rise of Resistance is going to be like.
But you're going to lose your mind.
I can't wait.
You're going to have a good old time.
That's great.
Yep. But I mean, so aside from the stuff on the trip, the other thing is I've been playing Luigi's Mansion 3. Preview embargo's up, so I can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
It's great. It's Luigi's Mansion. It's like the most like playable cartoon a Mario game has been in a long time. That's there's cool. Like a lot of like cutscenes, and they're all funny and kind of cute and stuff like that. I really like how like I think I'm like remember the 3DS game, your like menu button. It was one of the old portables. It might have been like an old DS or something.
Yeah,
this one it's a Virtual Boy. It's like your menu, and it's so cool. I love it.
Everything's all
it.
Red and black.
Yeah, everything's red and black. They're kind of yucking it up. That's about it.
Good. I'm glad time has healed that wound for Nintendo.
But just super clever, just fun to walk around, solve these puzzles. Like what I like too is each floor has like 6 or something hidden gems. Those are like kind of hard to find, so it's like you really are kind of rewarded for digging around and all that stuff. So, need to play more of it, but I'm enjoying that immensely as well.
Good.
Yep.
Well, I am back on that Destiny 2 train.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I've been playing Shadowkeep since it came out October 1st, and I have all 3 classes to the soft cap of power level 900.
Oh, really?
Does
it take long?
No, so here's how it works. So, every character you make now starts at 750. 900 is the soft cap. 960, I believe, is the hard.
Are there no more levels?
There's no levels.
How do you like unlock the progression for like the classes and those trees?
You just have it all. Just have it all.
Okay.
Yeah. So what you do is as you're going up to 900, every purple engram is basically an upgrade.
Okay.
Once you've hit 900, they could be like they just become the average of all your items. So if let's say your lowest power level thing is your boots at 902 and you're 905, maybe you'll get 904 boots. Like, so you'll get marginal upgrades, but your main upgrades come from either doing weekly challenges or getting, what do they call them? I think prime engrams. They're still purples, but they're guaranteed to be an upgrade when you decode them. And you have to go take those to the Cryptarch. Honestly, I found the best way to level up is just Crucible. I played six Crucible matches yesterday and got 2 prime engrams. Plus, completed a weekly challenge while it was in there.
Now, does it feel like you're just back playing Destiny 2, or does this feel like almost like Destiny 2.5?
It's still Destiny 2. I mean, the big changes are with the armor system now. So they remember how Destiny 1 had the 3 stats that I'm trying to remember which was which. There were 3 stats in Destiny that were like intellect, discipline, and strength.
And it was like grenade recharge time, melee recharge time.
And your super.
Yeah.
And then they got rid of that in Destiny 2. And Destiny 2 had boost to resilience, mobility, and recovery.
Yeah.
Now it's all 6. All 6 are in the mix.
It's good to have more stats.
Yeah. And then they're completely randomized in all the gear. And then the gear has the slots for mods. So once you've gotten a mod, it's unlocked forever. Like, they're not disposable like shaders are.
Yeah.
You just have to pay a nominal glimmer fee to attach them, and they take up energy on your weapon or on your armor. When you can upgrade them with legendary shards and upgrade materials, and it gets more expensive.
Can you replace these on?
Yeah, so you can swap them in out, do whatever you want. So that's how you're customizing all your armor. So like some of the mods are just, you know, like elemental resistances. Some will make you reload hand cannons faster. Drop ammo for doing certain things. So like, you know, RNG plays a role because if you want strength, you got to wait till you get good rolls in strength. But then you're also putting your mods to what you want. Weapons are similar. They have a mod, just one mod slot, and then still have like all the little things you can pick. So, but the thing is, so you know, like how you can move your gear between characters.
Yeah.
Well, there's this tab called the Collections tab, which I believe is new for this expansion. But it lets you go back, and as long as it wasn't an item with a random roll, you can use weapon parts, or if it's purple or an exotic, use legendary shards to buy it again. And when you do that, it'll come out to your average power level. So you get to like where you have like 9-10 power level weapons, and then make a new character and give him all the 9-10 stuff. Mm-hmm. So your armor is all 750, but your weapons are 9-10, which makes you like 820 power level. Then you just start buying blues from your collection, and you'll in 15 minutes you're level 900. You know, jeez. And then, you know, then I mean the real grind is the 900 and 950. Which I could see that'll be where I clock out, depending how slow that ultimately is.
Well, you don't plan on doing the raids.
So. Not really.
That would almost be the reason why I would want to get back.
The pinnacle activities are the raid and then the highest level of the Nightfall. That's where you get like the best gear.
Right.
But I'd say I've been having fun in Crucible. I kind of forget how good Crucible gameplay is in that game.
See, I'm like, it sounds fun. I want to do it, but I'm just... I have these games review, and I'm also trying to still get 60 in WoW Classic because my friends are already like fighting Ragnaros and stuff. And I'm like, I just hit level 51. And I'm like,
ugh. The nice thing is you get a good chunk of it for free.
Yeah,
I mean, the only things you miss out on not owning Shadowkeep is you get access to all the strikes, but only like the random strike playlist, so you can't like pick the Shadowkeep strike. You can still go to the moon. You just don't get the Shadowkeep missions. I think you would miss out. There's the one like new activity. It's the Vex Offensive, I believe it's called. It's a really neat mode. So it's a 6-player match-made mode where you and 5 other players go through 3 phases where it's like a big, like, not quite a horde mode, but it's like a big Vex encounter that ends with a cool boss fight.
I was confused because I did see the opening CG and it was very Vex-focused. Isn't the moon where the...
Well, so like the Shadowkeep story is Hive, but then the raid is Vex.
Oh.
So there's kind of the two concurrent stories. Like Vault of Glass again? No, I think it involves the boss from Vault of Glass being resurrected or something.
The classic.
Yes. So yeah, like there's kind of two stories going on at once here. But yeah, the nice thing about the Vex mode, especially when you're trying to get just to level 900 for the first time, each phase you get a purple, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could still get more drops just because you're killing so many things.
What's going on with Anthem?
So I haven't checked it out yet. They did like
For the first time I like legit just forgot about it.
Well, they did the Cataclysm thing over the summer and ended. And without telling us they were going to do it, they like launched, it's called the Season of the Skull. It's like their Halloween thing.
Mm.
I was like, oh, cool, what's this? It's just the Cataclysm repackaged, I guess. So everyone's like, oh, well, like we just did this. And it was kind of a grind back then, you know? I think there is some interesting stuff to do in the free play mode that people seem to like, but
I mean, that game's going to be a year old in, like, 4 months?
February.
I guess there's a bit of time, but it feels like not much has happened since that game launched.
I mean, I'm not going to complain. Like I said, I got, you know, 200 hours out of it, so I'm not going to complain. But it's
not that much time on
cooking. I enjoy playing it. It's fun to play.
That's fine.
But, you know, like I never did the final phase of the Cataclysm. I was like, you know what, it's a grind, it's a slog, it's repetitive. And it got more complicated every week, and I was like, ugh, no voice chat with these people. It's like actual mechanics now. I'm like, I'm not going to bother with this.
All right.
But Overwatch on the Switch. I have that. It is a game I own.
How's that?
It is Overwatch on the Switch.
I would be like amused by it. I would have fun playing Overwatch, but it's like, I would be a snob about not having 60 frames per second. Mm. I would miss mouse and keyboard. And I'd be like, I really don't like that I don't get to have my costumes and stuff.
That's the biggest bummer.
Like, why not? Like, I understand why there's not crossplay, but
yeah,
like...
I mean, it was one thing when it was on just, like, Xbox, PlayStation, PC, because, like, you pick one. But with the later release and the situation the Switch is in, it feels like it should be a complimentary experience.
Right. Like, at least the cosmetics.
So, I mean, I wouldn't have gotten... I had a chance to get it for $20. I was like, okay, for $20, I'll get this. I mean, it plays fine. Gyro controls are actually pretty nice in the game.
They're always nice and shooting.
So I like that. I just feel like it feels like they should have been able to get to 60 FPS somehow. Yeah. Honestly, I feel like the graphic... This is going to sound dumb. The graphical quality is almost too good.
Like, you think they should be
They should have tuned it down. I think frame rate would have been more important. Especially because Paladins does hit 60 frames per second.
Right.
I... In a way, I'd almost say if you really want to play a team-based shooter and Switch, just play Paladins. It's free.
Yeah.
You know, if you want Overwatch, again, it's not bad. It's Overwatch. It plays fine. You know, I was having a good time. The nice thing is, since the Halloween event started and you're level one, you're getting loot crates pretty quickly.
Right.
So that's kind of fun. Yeah, like if they would have just put some kind of shared inventory kind of thing into it, that would have been so nice. Mm-hmm. But as it is, you know, where I think we would benefit from having it is, like I said, like LAN parties. Like if we were all just hanging out at your place, partying up and playing it that way would be a lot of fun.
Why don't we just all stay home and play online?
Camaraderie, Mike.
Yeah, I get enough camaraderie.
I can't drink your bourbon if I'm not here.
That's the issue.
But yeah, like I said, it's weird. It feels like they should have tried harder to get to 60 frames a second. That should have been the priority. Mm. Do you see this where people with modded Wiis were able to, or Switches, Wiis, were able to get Witcher 3 hacked, kind of? Because it's just like,
overclocked the system a bit.
Well, they overclocked the system, and then there's some kind of file they could load that just lets them access the PC graphics options, because it's just in there.
Oh, weird.
Like that's how much of a PC port it is. And they were able to get it running at near 60 frames per second. I guess, like, the Switch got insanely hot doing it.
Yeah, I bet.
But it is, in theory, possible.
Yeah. That's almost a more intriguing port, since I beat that game. But, mm-hmm. like, that's a game that's more acceptable to have at 30 frames per second, I feel like. Especially if you're
it's a single-player, action role-playing game versus, you know, an online multiplayer game.
Right.
Especially because Diablo 3 ran so well, too. I mean, it's a little apples and oranges, but still.
But yeah, Diablo 3 ran.
I still feel like they could have gotten there. Oh, well.
Oh, is there anything else? I'm still tired from traveling.
Yeah, you look it. No, that's, you know, just playing more more Dauntless. So much Dauntless.
All the Dauntless.
Love the Dauntless.
All right, well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Be sure to go to all the places where podcasts are, leave us a review, and we'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.